is God Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. He is Lord of all humanity, and he rules by his word. He is king of all the ages, the first and the last. I'm his child by mercy, forgiven from my sinful past. He is a dying Savior, bruised, shamed, and despised. He is the great Redeemer, giving victory in life. He is the risen conqueror, setting my captive spirit free. And I love him, yes, I love him, because he first loved me. When I see who he is, I realize who I am. And I wonder why a holy God would ever reach down so far and place me in his hands. My ears had heard the story, but now my eyes have seen his glory, and I can't turn away from his grace. I'm incredibly, miraculously saved.
He's my friend and gentle shepherd, my shelter from the storm. He is closer than a brother, and the rock I lean upon. He is my Abba Father, my confidence, my love. I'm depending on his goodness, lost but for his blood. When I see who he is, I realize what I am. And I wonder why a holy God would ever reach down so far and place me in his hands. My ears have heard the story, but now my seen his glory, and I can't turn away from his grace. I'm incredibly, miraculously saved. When I see who he is, I realize what I am, and I wonder why a holy God would ever reach down so far and place me in his hands. My ears had heard the story, but now my eyes have seen his glory, and I can't turn away from his grace. I'm incredibly, miraculously saved.
Turn me over. makes me want to shout, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, you're worthy of all the glory and all the honor and all the praise. He makes me want to shout, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
I'm glad to be here this morning. A lot of times they'll sing, that's boy, my favorite song. I said, didn't you say that about the last one? Well, that song, Saved, is, I love that song, and I love that choir song. And I appreciate that testimony. But I agree with what Sunday said. I believe the Lord has got the door of mercy swung wide open on America. Amen. And He wants to save somebody. He wants to change somebody's life, and He wants to help somebody. And maybe somebody here this morning. One thing before I get into Scripture, I've got a notepad here I want to hold up. We're going to be having a baptism soon. And if you want to get your name on the list to be baptized, please let me know. Just I'm going to have this out here for the next couple of weeks. Just want to get your name on here, get a, you know, and phone number so we can get that everybody lined up. We're going to have a baptism in here. We'll probably turn the heat up just a little bit that day. And good news for you, we do have a heater for the baptism. So we can get that water a little warmer and we can make it comfortable, but we're going to have a baptizing in here. Another thing we're going to have is we're going to have a baby dedication. So I've had several people approach me about that. So if you want to get your name on here and you can say, well, I've already told you, well, please do me a favor. Tell me one more time. Because here's what I have at home downstairs where my study's at. I have 25 notepads. And every one of them is just like this. Here's what happens. I'll be sitting at work and God will give me a thought, and that's what you get right there. Now, at some point, y'all can't look at this. At some point or another, I'd be preached on. So I have to save all that stuff. So all them names people give me, they're in 25 notepads. So I need to get them consolidated. But we're going to have a baptizing. We're going to have a baby dedication. And something else I want you to consider and be praying about is coming up this summer, I want us to plan a Sunday afternoon. And we're going to go up to Altoona Lake, and we're going to have an outdoor baptism. We might have a little picnic, but we've had a couple of people say, I want to be baptized, but I want to be baptized in a creek. Well, you know, I was baptized in a creek. We might find something closer, but I've done it up there. I know we can do it up there, so we will be doing that, Lord willing. So be praying about that. Now, if you got your Bible this morning, we're going to be reading first in 2 Corinthians chapter number 5. And then we're going to be going over to 1 Timothy chapter number 4. And I just want to preach on this thought. And I come in here this morning, I'm just going to be honest with you. I had four messages, and I laid them out on this table here. And I pray and I seek God. And I'll tell you what I want. And you think about what you want when you come to the house of God. I want what God wants. What good does it do me to come in and get what I want? Who am I? What do I know? Okay? But we want what God wants. I have a dad who's gone to be with the Lord, and I can remember him when, you know, I was growing up and I announced my calling to preach, and he was giving me instruction, and he would say, son, he said, there is a message and there is the message. And we want what God wants. The message this morning and the thought that I want to share with you is why we need preaching. You know, in America today, a lot of people, they don't want preaching. They don't mind coming to church. They just have this saying, they say, well, I don't want to be preached at. But I want to read some scripture this morning, and I want to talk about why we need preaching. And I want to look at 1 Corinthians chapter number 5, beginning in verse number 9, and just read the 9th, 10th, and 11th verse. It says, wherefore we labor, that whether present or absent, that means whether we're here with on this earth or we're with the Lord, that we may be accepted of Him. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in this body, according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. Then look at the first part of the 11th verse. Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. But we are made manifest unto God, and I trust also are made manifest unto your consciences. Now here is what Paul is writing, and he's speaking about, you know, standing before the Lord and giving account and understanding who God is. Now folks, I want you to understand God is a God of love. We can't even comprehend it. We can't understand it. It's too much for us. Well, how much does the Lord love you? I can't describe that. I have no way. The best thing I can tell you is that, and I believe this is true, is that when you look down at your little child, there's no love like that love. You know, we have some friends that this week they lost a son. He was 25 years old. And a little story behind this son is from the time he was an infant, he had heart condition, and he got a heart transplant when he was just a baby. And he received that heart transplant, and he was able to live, and he was the longest living person that ever had a heart transplant. You don't hear a lot about him because his mother didn't want to make a big deal about him, but, you know, he is actually the longest living person. They said he'd never live as long as he did, but he grew up and he went through high school and, you know, he got out and he wanted something that you and I have and we don't even understand it. He said, all I want is to be able to get to the point that I don't have to depend on my mom and daddy. He said, I want to have my own home, and I want to have my own house, and I want to have my own job. But God has other plans. And right now, he's with the Lord. And he's there, and he's in the arms of Jesus. And you know what he said? He made a comment. He said, you know, I'm going to heaven. I know I am. He said, when I get there, if the Lord will just let me do the humblest job, I'll be glad just to be there. Amen. You know, we understand the love of God a little bit, but we can't understand it all. When you look at your child and you look at them and you look into their eyes and you know how much you love them, I've heard it said, the hardest thing a person will ever have to walk through in this life is the loss of a child. That's why he said he gave his only begotten son. Just so you can understand it a little bit. So God is love, and we can't even comprehend that love. But the Bible also teaches us that our God is a consuming fire. And he has no equal, and he is a jealous God. And he has a standard also. And it's a standard that a lot of times we don't really want to hear about or look about. But here's what I want you to understand. The mercy and the grace of God comes to you just like you are to help you be the best that you can be, because God loves you just like you are. You know, we need preaching because God is God. And here's what we need to preach. We need to preach the Word of God. Okay? Now here's something to understand about preaching the Word of God. When a preacher gets up to preach, he is accountable to a living God. That's why it scares me to death to get up here. The Bible teaches that unto whomsoever much is given, much will be required of him. But a preacher is supposed to preach the whole counsel of God. Now, what does that mean? He preaches about the love of God. He preaches about the grace of God. He preaches about the mercy of God. He preaches about how God took your place on the cross. But he doesn't say that sin is okay, that unrighteousness is okay, that accepting just anything wrong is okay, because God is God and God has a standard. So a preacher is supposed to preach the whole counsel of God. Now, let's go over to 2 Timothy chapter number 4. And I want to read just a couple of verses. And these are words of advice that Paul gave to Timothy. Now, Timothy was like a preacher that Paul was bringing along and teaching. And I want to tell you something that I believe with all my heart. It's, you know, we're living in times today where fewer and fewer people are actually standing up and saying this: God called me to the ministry and I have to do it. I must go. I must do it. I must obey God. What we're hearing today is ministry sounds like a pretty good career. You know, I had a preacher, he pastors a church in this county, and he told me how he elected to be a preacher. He said, I began to look at what I was good at. And he said, I realized how much money I could make as a preacher. Scares me to death. Now we shake our heads and we say, oh, but I want to tell you, in the day and time we're living in 2017, there's more of them today than there are God-called men that'll stand up and declare the whole counsel of God. Well, here's Paul, and he's got Timothy, and he sees the call of God on Timothy's life. And here's what he says to him. He says, I charge thee, therefore, before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom, preach the word. Be instant in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. Now, I don't have time to cover all of this. I'm going to try to just follow the Spirit of the Lord. But here's some things I want you to see. Paul told Timothy, he said, reprove, rebuke, exhort with longsuffering and with doctrine. Now, he told him to be instant in season and out of season. Here's what that means. You may not have time to sit down and do a 5-page outline with a poem. You may just have to preach down at the corner. I remember one time when we was growing up, we were down there at where the stockyards were, down there where Sears and Roebuck was at, and we were going down the road, and my daddy, he was acting all fidgety, and he pulled off the side of the road, and he jumped out, and he said, I've just got to do it. And he got out in the yard, and he preached up and down those railroad tracks, and he shouted, and he praised God, and here we are over here, my mother. I want to tell you something. When the call of God is on your life, it's not yours. It's His. Amen? I've seen all kind of things growing up. We need more men today that'll stand up and follow God and quit worrying about what somebody thinks and declare the truth. Reprove is to rebuke for a fault or misdeed, to scold or admonish. That's what it says. To rebuke is to criticize or reprove sharply, to reprimand or a sharp reproof. To exhort is to urge or incite by strong argument, advice, or appeal. To admonish earnestly. To make urgent appeal, to encourage to do well or to do right. And with long suffering, it means to suffer long with. It means you may have to help them and help them again. You know, I've seen people, they'll go into a place where they can go to get help with rehab, and they come out and they go back again and they go back again. And you know what you do? You just keep loving them as long as God gives you the opportunity. Can I tell you something? Every person that comes through those doors right there, whether we like it or not, God sent them here to us, and we're accountable to God for them, and we're supposed to love them and try our best to help them. Sometimes people say, well, we don't want that kind. I tell you what, you want God to come? We better not get picky about who comes through the door, or maybe God will quit coming through the door. And then doctrine. Doctrine is something that is taught. It is a principle or body of principles taught or advocated in instruction. And that's what we've got to have. And I'll tell you this, I'll never get through this. I'll just have to quit in a few minutes. But here's what doctrine is. Do you know that there may be somebody come in, and I've heard this happen. They say, Pastor, I've got a word for your church. I've heard people say this. Pastor, I've got a word for your church. I need to get up and give it to them Sunday. And the pastor said, well, tell me what it is. Well, I need this for the church. Let me tell you, this pulpit needs to be protected. Yes. There's some doctrine that we don't believe and we're not going to have. And what we do is just like D now. If they were not a like-minded church, we would not be going. Doctrine is important. But when you look at what preaching is, here's what I want you to understand. A preacher is not a motivational speaker. Now, he should motivate. That's what exhortation is. But there's a whole lot of difference. You know, when we look at what preaching is and you're called to preach the gospel, sometimes people look at it like it's a glorious thing and it's prestigious. I tell you what I tell preachers that come to me and they say, well, I believe God's called me to preach. I say, run. They look at me. I say, run. It's like I had a man tell me one time, he said, you know what the last thing you do before you get up behind the pulpit? And I'm listening. I'm waiting on this great, powerful word that's going to give me some wisdom. He said, make sure your zipper's zipped. It's not always what you expect. But why do you tell them run? I'll tell you why. Here, listen to this. If you can quit, you're not called.
That's right.
That's right. If it's a career choice, you're not a preacher. Do something else. But if you're called, you're accountable to God. And you need to obey God. Now here's why we need preaching. We need preaching to keep us from sin. Now I don't know about you, but I do want to come to the house of God. I want to worship. And I want to be preached to. Now I mentioned a minute ago, Roger Gladwell. I tell you why I want to go hear him. Because when I hear him, I feel about that big. You say, well, you want to feel that way? Absolutely. I don't want to get it in my head that everything's all right and I'm exactly where I need to be and I'm never growing and I'm never being challenged and I'm not recognizing my own sin. You're deceiving yourself. We need preaching to keep us from sin. Scripture says in Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Scripture says in 1 John 1:8, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. 1 John 1:10 says that if we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us. We need preaching to keep us from sin. You know, by preaching, we're made to see our own sin. You see, sometimes, you ever heard that statement, boy, you got on my toes. Well, the preacher can't do nothing. Can I tell you, I am nobody. It's okay to say amen. I'm nobody. My opinion means nothing. But when you're in the house of God, if God sends a preacher, no matter what his name is or who he is, you better listen close for the Holy Spirit, because it's walking up and down the aisles, searching the hearts of people, and God wants to do business with everyone here. See, what the Word of God does is it makes us see our sin. If you go to the 7th chapter of Acts, there's a man over there, his name's Stephen. And he's before the people, the religious people. And he begins to preach to them and tell them what they've done to Jesus and who he was. And they saw their sin. And when they saw their sin, the scripture says in 7 and 54, the first part of the verse says they were cut to the heart. And in the 57th verse, it says they cried with a loud voice and they stopped their ears and they ran upon him with one accord. You see, sometimes what happens when God walks by and he speaks to our hearts is we don't like what we see. You see, nobody likes it. See, it would be better sometimes than say, well, I just don't like feeling that conviction. Really? Would you rather not feel it? Would you rather God just go away and not be a part of your life and not speak to you? What about your loved ones? Do you really want them to get right with the Lord? How many times I've heard people say, would you pray for, and they fill in the blank, it's a son, it's a husband, it's a daddy. And you know, what you have to do really is you bring them right here. And you say, God, they're yours. Do whatever you need to do in their life. And sometimes when God begins to work, and God begins to squeeze, and God begins to move, people jump up and say, God, stop! I didn't want you to do that, God. Do we really want God to leave us alone? See, these that Stephen preached to, they made a choice. They rejected the preaching. They stoned Stephen. You see, by preaching, not only do we see ourselves, but we also find a way to get away from the things that are wrong in our lives. In Isaiah chapter 53, the scripture says that all we, like sheep, have gone astray. That's all of us. Like a sheep wandering from the shepherd that looks through the fence and sees greener grass. Even though the fence is there, he might go down and find a hole in the fence. Or as one shepherd I read behind said, the fence went down into the ocean, and at low tide, there were just some sheep that no matter how green the grass was that the shepherd had provided, they'd look through. And they'd go around. All we like sheep have gone astray. And we have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. If you know about the 53rd chapter of Isaiah, it's a picture of Christ and sin. It's a picture of what he received for us. That when Christ was on this cross, the scripture says that by his stripes we were healed. And the chastisement of his peace was upon us. And it says that God saw all of this and it pleased the Lord that God was satisfied. You know, when we hear preaching and we recognize that Jesus is the payment for our sin, that we're wondrously, miraculously saved through Christ, how will we hear without the Word of God? In 1 John chapter 2, verse 1 and 2, says, my little children, these things I write unto you, that ye sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And he is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. It's kind of like Sunday mentioned just a minute ago when she was talking about these little children. She said, you look at their faces and you see, please give me hope. How many times you go to the convenience store, the gas station, and you look and you see people day after day, that same look, please give me hope. Can I tell you, we have an advocate, Jesus Christ the righteous, and he is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. I want to tell you, what do we preach? We preach Jesus Christ and him crucified, a resurrected Savior that paid the penalty for the entire world, that paid the debt for my sin, that took my place on the cross. And I'm able to be here this morning in this church and worship because of what He did. See, all we have to do is accept Him. Accept what Jesus did for us. You know, why do we need preaching? Because we don't need to lose our vision. You know, we're in a time today that you're competing with so much. There's so much against you, pulling against you. You got to be careful. You need to be in the house of God. You need to be faithful to the house of God. You know why? Because this world will put a pull on you and it'll give you every excuse in the world. And the more you're away, guess what? The easier it is to stay away. You miss one Sunday, then you miss two, then you miss a month. All of a sudden, you don't have the desire to go like you did at one time. He said, well, I don't want to be preached at. I've heard people say this. I've heard people say this about our youth. They've said, well, those youth don't need to be preached at. Let me tell you something. Yes, you do. Now, I'll tell y'all young people, I love y'all. Y'all are so cute over here. I wish I was good looking as y'all are. I mean, that's just never happened for me. But I told Brother Allen this, because this is in my heart, pour the Word of God on them. Pour it on them. Now, here's what I want you to understand. If you're at home and you've got cable TV and you've got iPads and iPods and internet and all that stuff, there ain't nothing he can preach to them about that's even going to get close to what they saw this week. Because he's got a whole lot more discernment, because he's got a whole lot more reservation, and he's not even going to talk as directly as everything they've already heard. They need preaching. Because we're competing against a world system that's so anti-God, that supports everything that's wrong, and you need preaching. Because all of that coming against you and pulling against you, I tell you what it's going to do. It'll pull you away from God. See, some say, well, I don't like to be preached at. I do. You know why I do? I love the Word of God. But I don't want to be deceived. I don't want to be thinking I'm okay and I'm not okay. You see, truth is revealed and darkness is exposed. And here's why. Because the Bible is true. See, if it weren't true, it wouldn't bother you. I heard a psychologist say this week, and they were offering a secular psychologist's view. And they were trying to compare the Bible to Muhammad and all the others. Here's something I want you to really understand. There's only one tomb that's empty. Only one. There's only one God and one mediator between God and me, and only one. People can have different and opposing worldviews, but I'll guarantee you something. You could sit in a Muslim service and listen to what they said and let them pray to their God, and here's what will never happen. The Holy Spirit will never visit you. It's the Holy Spirit that convicts. It's not the words of man. That's why no matter what I study, no matter how motivational you might try to be, if God doesn't do His work, it's not going to happen. See, the Bible's true. That's why it says 2 Corinthians 13:5 says, examine yourselves. Whether you be in the faith, it says, prove your own selves. Know ye not your own selves, how that Christ is in you? Except you be reprobates. What is a reprobate? Person that thinks they're right, but they're not right, and they just think it and think it and think it until, okay, you can't help them. I want God to speak to me. And David was a man after God's own heart, the Bible says, and he wanted God to speak to him. And here's what he said in Psalms 139, verse 23 and 24. David said, he said, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. And see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Now, I don't know if you've ever done this, but I've done this. You really start trying to pray, and you say, well, I want to get right with God. I want to be close to God. We all say that, but do we really? You see, when you say it enough that you pray that prayer that David wrote, and all of a sudden God begins to show you what he sees. You say, well, God, I don't want to. Sometimes it's kind of like this, being on that movie. A Christmas Carol. Remember when old Scrooge, he said, I don't want to see it no more. I don't want to see it no more. Because our holiness and our righteousness, here's the problem we have. We compare ourselves to one another. We say, I'm better than that guy or I'm better than that gal. But the truth is, like I heard, Chuck Colson, who was part of the Watergate scandal, one time stood up before a Sunday school class and he told them, you're more like Adolf Hitler than you are like Jesus Christ. And people said, get out of here. We don't want to hear it. If you don't believe that, you need to get right with God right now. See, the Bible is true. The Bible's alive. This book is alive. Hebrews 4:12 says, for the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than a two-edged sword, piercing even through the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and the marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. You see, it's powerful because it cuts to the heart. That's how powerful the word of God is. It's quick. It's powerful. It's not like other books. It's going to stand when all other books have failed, and it will withstand all attacks that come against it. And folks, it has for ages. It's powerful. It's alive. It discerns. It exposes truth. Recently, I had a guy come to me, and he was talking to me, and he said this. He said, my group, and he's in a singing group, he said, we were invited to go sing at a church at a Celebrate Recovery meeting. And he said, they told me before we came, he said, we don't want anything at all that even resembles an invitation song sang at our Celebrate Recovery. We don't want to preach at these people. We don't want any invitation given. That's not what this is about. Well, here's what I want to tell you something. I cannot imagine not giving people an invitation to come to Christ. I cannot imagine a Celebrate Recovery service without an altar call. And here's what I want you to understand. You can get sober, but that doesn't mean you know Jesus. You know, we can think that we have everything all right in our lives. I want to tell you what's most important. This is more important than you being sober, is do you know Christ? Because you can be sober and go to hell sober. But they said, we don't want an invitation. We don't want anything that sends any type of conviction. Now, can you imagine a church where they never give an altar call? Can you imagine a youth group that never gives an invitation to pray? Can you imagine a Celebrate Recovery meeting without that? But here's, let's just look at ourselves as a Christian, and I'm going to look at me. Do I really want God to speak to me, or I just want God to leave me alone? I tell you why we need preaching, because we don't need God to leave us alone. Last thing I ever want in my life is this, for God to take and have His hand on me and just take it off. Last thing I want is for God to stop speaking to me. I know I got issues. I know I've got problems. I want God to help me. Well, I don't like the way conviction feels. Well, sometimes I don't, but I'll tell you I really do. You know why I do? I'll tell you what conviction does. If you're saved, it lets you know that you're His. And if you're lost, guess what? It shows you that God's mercy is extended to you. And that God's reaching out to you and God's calling you and the door of mercy is open. And I want to tell you that door of mercy is open and God wants to help you. God wants to change lives. While Maddie comes to sing, I want to ask her to come on and get ready to sing. Just think about this for just a minute. Do you want God to preach to your life? Or do you want God just to leave you alone? I don't want God to leave me alone. I don't want God to leave this church alone. I want God to be present in this house when we come in here every service so that He rules and He reigns. Just like we say, it's not about us, it's about Him. I want Him here. I want Him to convict me. I want Him to speak to me. I want Him to work. I want to see lost people saved. As she prepares to sing, I ask you to stand to your feet. If you're here this morning and you don't know Christ, I want to give you a special invitation to come down and pray. There will be people that will pray with you. Nobody's going to embarrass you. Nobody's going to try to get you to do anything you don't want to do. But I want to tell you, God loves you and the door of mercy is open. If you're here this morning and God spoke to you and He's pointed out something in your life, you know, sometimes God points out things in my life and it bothers me. Right. To the extent that I say, God, I don't want to be that way. But I said, God, don't leave me alone. God, don't quit speaking to me. I know I'm not all that I need to be, but thank God I'm not what I used to be. Amen. So if you're here and God spoke to you, please, this is your opportunity to pray. We love you, and God loves you more than I can possibly even tell you as she sings.
I belong to you.
Amen. You can be seated. Just a couple of announcements I want to make.